Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with
Jason Shear.
And Tired. We've had a long day because by the time you listen to this, it might be Tuesday, but Monday, April 29th, was pretty insane.
I believe I told you I was on radio at 7 a.m.
Yes.
Big 12 radio on Sirius XM.
Big 12.
And then I was on with Guy Haberman on his podcast or stream talking about Jacob Cowing.
And that was for quite a while.
And then I got a text about something else. And I believe, because you took today off, because you worked so much the other day, that I said to you, I just got a feeling this day is going to be ridiculous.
And you also were on the PHNX podcast with Michael Luke, like usual.
A portal entry, two football commits, and a basketball commit, three radio whatever appearances. And
Radio-ish, you know.
Yeah. And here we are.
Here we are. We've had a long day.
You said, I think we should do a podcast. And I said, yeah, no shit.
I think we should tell the people some stories about today. So we did celebrate our long day because neither of us felt like cooking, so we went to Texas Roadhouse. That was awesome.
I played one game of Fortnite.
Yep.
And I said, Shelby, I think it's going to calm down for a little bit. I know there's one more commitment. I'm going to play a game of Fortnite. Started it. Boom, commitment. And I said, okay, are you hungry? Yep. All right, let's go to Capriati's. Boom, commitment. So I said, I'm never leaving my house again. And you all replied, no, it's the opposite,
please,
Jason.
Please leave. Please leave.
Someone said, please leave. Another person said, go to Vegas or Disneyland. Someone said, Shelby should put you up at a hotel until the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until it's closed. I did joke. I said, hey, Jason's taking a nap. Guess what's going to happen? Well, it didn't happen.
No, I did.
But
not.
It was kind of funny. Fantastic. He did. And he did get to have a little nap. So the day started, if you want to hearken back to many hours ago, the day started with a commitment from Toby Awaka. What can you tell us about the Tennessee forward?
Yeah, so this was the gentleman that Michael Luke went to Culinary Dropout and mm-hmm. saw him.
Saw him with the coaches.
And we were able to narrow it down who it was. And saw him on that visit. He enjoyed himself and did a little research on him, talked to people close to him. And it was Arizona was in good shape after the visit. He actually wound up visiting Ohio State. I believe he visited Georgetown and Villanova as well. All three of those schools wanted him. But at the end of the day, there was a relationship between Lloyd and Awaka and people close to Awaka, and it paid off. I like it. You know, I think anytime you could add quality size, you got to do it. Physicality. I retweeted a video of him versus Kentucky. He's like the nicest guy.
He's supposedly a bad man when you get him mad.
Yeah, but someone got him mad, and it's that clip is hilarious. Go on my Twitter and watch it. But I like it, you know, and I would be honest at this point. I think Arizona needs certain types of additions. They lost Dylan Anderson. That was going to be some depth at the five. They fully expected that. So when you lose a guy that you thought would play at the five, you got to add a guy that could play at the five, and that is where Awaka comes in.
What do you see his role being at Arizona?
I think he probably starts as a 12 to 15 minute type of guy. You know, it's interesting because, you know, he wasn't very good offensively at Tennessee, and he wasn't very good in terms of controlling his fouls. Like, he got in some foul trouble while at Tennessee. So there are things, question marks, let's say. Now, I will say that talking to people around Iwaka that have seen him play and around the Arizona program, they absolutely believe that he is a significantly better offensive game than he showed at Tennessee. The Duckins are going to be there much more at Arizona. If you look at their fours that they've had, he's not as offensively talented as a guy like Azulis, but a lot of Azulis' points came on Duckins. He is 6'8", 250. He is very strong. He is an elite rebounder. When you extend his minutes, I assume that wouldn't go down. Rebounding usually translates when you're a good rebounder in 10 minutes, you're a good rebounder in 20 and 30 and all that. So I expect him to be one of the best pound-for-pound rebounders on Arizona. You know, he's going to push Krivas. I think that's good for Krivas. I still expect Krivas to be the starting center, but I think you need someone that could push him, and they're a little bit different in how they play. I think Krivas is probably a little bit more skilled. Mm-hmm. Iwaka's probably more physical and just more likes to contact a little bit more. It allows him some defensive versatility as well.
I think that he's going to leave some bruises.
Yeah, I think someone tweeted, it was, I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I remember who you're I know who you're talking about.
Sean something? I don't remember, but he tweeted, I'll shout him out. He tweeted that, you know, Arizona with a front court of Townsend and Iwaka is going to leave some bruises. It is. This is a physical front court. I mean, Keyshawn was pretty physical. Bala was pretty physical. This is a little bit different.
I think they're, like, aggressive. That's going to be great.
And the thing is also, like, I had questions about Townsend's defense. I still do. Playing him next to Iwaka helps make up for that a little bit because of his versatility and his ability to guard. So I actually think they complement each other pretty well. I say 12 to 15 minutes to start. I could see that being up to 20, maybe more. It's going to be an interesting situation. I know there's some debate or some talk on the board if he's a four man or not. I don't see him as a four at all. He's never been brought up as a four man to me. He is a five all the way. You know, you get Townsend at the four. You could kind of switch things around as well and move things. Overall, I think, you know, he's probably better suited as a five with Townsend at the four. And then you kind of Carter at the four and kind of move things
around. Just shuffle him around.
Yeah.
Play a shuffle game.
Henry at the four.
Yeah. They didn't recruit him to be a four.
No, I mean, maybe certain situations. Because if you're playing him at the four, who's your five? You're not going, you know, you're not going Iwaka, Krivas. That's not good. That's just, I'm just going to say it. I wouldn't like that combination very much.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Okay. Well, we're excited about that pickup for Arizona basketball. And we're going to move over, sliding over.
There's a question I deleted.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I should have added it. Now the next step, I actually expect Arizona to kind of take a step back, see what happens as the portal closes here in the next few days. Caleb Love is going to go through the whole process. I would assume that guard is the next step. I know there's some wings up there that Arizona's reached out to as well. Guard recruiting, a lot of it depends on Caleb Love. He might go through the whole process. He could go through the beginning of the process and say, never mind. But they're going to keep guys warm and stuff like that. I expect the portal to slow down a little bit, but at least you know what you're getting in terms of guys that have not declared for the draft yet. And then again, you're going to get another surge when the guys that declared for the draft and entered the portal find out they're not good enough to play in the NBA and want to go back to college.
Okay. All right. Well, you did delete that question because I was trying to move on to football, but I get it. Moving to football, it was very exciting. Day, but one thing that did happen, wide receiver Kevin Green entered the transfer portal. What do you make of that?
Not a surprise. I had mentioned that a receiver was likely to enter. You know, it on the plus side, Arizona is going to use more wide receivers than Jed Fish. I am 100% confident in saying that. On the other hand, there's two things. Number one, you know, I think Kevin Green is talented. It wouldn't surprise me to see him wind up, if he chooses the right type of fit, to wind up having a nice college career. I think the issue was that the talk was that he would be able to kind of step into Cowie's place and be really good. That never happened. He did not have a really very good spring. He did not stand out. He wasn't bad. I don't want to give off the impression that he was bad.
He was like middle of the pack.
Right, but he was just kind of another wide receiver. Like when you watched Cowie in practice, you knew that he was awesome. When you watched T-Mac, you knew that he was awesome. I don't know if he had a better camp than... Oh, I know he didn't have a better camp than Malachi Riley. He didn't have a better camp than, like, Chris Hunter, who has played well. So, you know, you kind of wonder where he's at. You know, there's some exit meetings, and basically I think that it was known by Kevin Green that he wasn't guaranteed a starting role. And even if they're rotating, he maybe isn't going to get the touches that he wanted. Plus, and we'll get to this in a minute, Arizona was recruiting wide receivers. You know, they brought in one today. It wouldn't surprise me if they bring in another one. They have certain types of receivers that they want, and Kevin Green doesn't necessarily fit the mold of what they were looking for, and they were kind of recruiting over him a little bit. But I think when it comes down to it, he just didn't stand out. And again, I liked him, his dad, they're awesome. This is not a personal thing when I say that. I want to make that very clear because people kind of...
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable.
They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Twist words and all that. He just didn't have that type of spring where you look and you say, you know what, Arizona's in great hands with Kevin Green. You know, there's a thread on the message board that someone bumped, and it was correct, where it's like, people are like, yeah, I mean, under the last stop, we don't want to go get Mikey Matthews. We have Kevin Green, right? Those were the type of expectations on Green, and he just didn't have the spring to kind of match the expectations headed into camp.
Okay. Well, We kind of replaced them, I think. But we'll switch to the first one who committed. Utah defensive lineman Chase Kennedy committed to Arizona as well today. What type of role do you see him in?
Well, the first thing I want to acknowledge is that I got a lot of messages on Twitter. I guess if you Google Chase Kennedy, it's also the name of a supermodel.
Oh.
So I guess her Instagram.
A little crossover there.
Her profile is significantly better to look at than Chase Kennedy's. Sorry, Chase. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy where he's, you know, he was pretty highly rated at a high school. Look, you know, there's programs that you look at their defense and you go, okay, like, if they're recruited by this guy, they must be good. Utah's that school. Like, if Utah's recruiting a defensive end, they must be pretty good. And there's a tweet someone posted by Connor O'Toole, who's awesome, that basically said that Kennedy is going to be a star. He battled injury. He's a little injury prone. The hope is he gets healthy. What we've noticed with Arizona is they're willing to take some risks on guys that are injured that still have high ceilings coming out of the portal. That maybe aren't highly recruited because they believe, hey, if this guy's healthy, he's going to be awesome. Kennedy's probably not going to start at defensive end, but he's going to be a guy that, you know, Arizona needed depth. Like we've said all camp, even before camp started, that Arizona needed to go out and get deeper at defensive end. They still do. Like, in my opinion, they
more,
need to add
more.
Multiple, like, 3-4 defensive linemen, in my opinion. I just think you need to strengthen it. I like the interior, the ends, the depth at end. I don't like it all. I think this is a step in the right direction. He'll be a depth guy. He'll be a guy where if he can hit a ceiling, like, he's good. Like, he had legitimate offers. Houston, TCU, Utah, like, very real offers. He was very really recruited out of high school, and he's a guy where Utah took and Arizona wanted him. They were able to cut him off on other visits. They were really aggressive trying to get him to commit. He enjoyed his time here. And, you know, he's a guy where I expect him. I don't know how much of a role he will have right away in terms of snap count, mostly because I don't know how much Josie Amalo kind of rotates, if he's like Kafusi and Anson and all that. But I know that Kennedy will absolutely see the field next season at the defensive end.
Okay. And then, as you mentioned, Arizona lost Kevin Green, but we added arguably the coolest name ever, Romello Murphy. and he's from Old Dominion. Is he a guy that can step in right away?
So first of all, he has a really cool story.
He does.
He's got family in Tucson. His dad lives here. He's friends for a while with a lot of these guys. So like his host on The Visit, I believe, was T-Mac, and he was at the spring game, and he just stood next to T-Mac the entire time. He knows Noah Fifita. I believe he's like a Juice County kid. Like he knows the Fifita family, McMillan family. He knows, I think, Chase Durham on the roster, the JUCO kid they brought over. Like he knows already multiple kids. Great attitude. Got to talk to him. We'll have the interview on Wildcat Authority.
Wildcat Authority.
But he expects to come in and play, and I don't see why not. You know, he's here's the thing. People are looking at his numbers, an Old Dominion. I wouldn't do that at all. Mainly because Old Dominion's offense sucked, just to be blunt.
Yeah.
Their quarterback, if you look at his rating on ESPN, it is atrocious. He had 17 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. They didn't have a dominant receiver. They had like 4 or 5 guys with 25 catches. He led. He was the best receiver on the team. You know, there were some other guys that had more catches, but yards per catch and total yards, I believe he led. But their offense just, it's hard to kind of translate that. He had other offers. Fresno State, he visited last week before Arizona. You know, he's a guy that the staff likes. He's fast. He was actually a running back early on in high school, freshman in high school. I believe he started as a running back and eventually grew into a wide receiver a little bit. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I think at this point, if Arizona brings in a wide receiver, because there is some depth, but there's not that guy that's that burner. Like I've said, they need that guy that's elite, like Jacob Cowing has elite speed. They need a fast burner type. Like I like Riley, he runs good routes. He's not a burner, right? I think Murphy will kind of fit that role. He's got good speed, he runs good routes. He's a guy that I absolutely expect to play right away.
All right, well, I love his name, Romello. Love. Okay, Michael Wooten is an offensive lineman from Oregon that committed on Sunday night. How important is his commitment?
Yeah, so he's a guy, remember, like I just said, I said this at least 1 minute ago.
Yep.
That Arizona is willing to take some risk on injury guys, right? Like if they see high ceiling. Wooten is one of those. First of all, he's huge. He's like 6'6", 310 pounds. I mean, he is an absolute monster.
Love that too.
The problem is that he was injured, yep. Right? So he's only played in one game and he only played 2 snaps at Oregon. But there's also benefits to this. The benefit is he redshirted, so you get 3 years or whatever out of him. The benefit is he's already been in a college weight program, and you know Oregon has a very good strength and conditioning program.
Thank you, Oregon.
Right, and you know that Oregon can recruit linemen. So, you know, he may have transferred, but Arizona's saying, look, if you're healthy, like, we believe in you. And he may not start right away. I don't expect him to start. He's coming in as a tackle. But he's a guy where, you know, again, I talk about ceiling. I think he has a very high ceiling. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a multi-year starter. I like the pickup. You know, these are the type of guys that Arizona's going to have to get. They're not going to outbid a Texas, an Alabama, a thing like that. But if you could get a guy like Wooten and Kennedy, the guys where, you know, maybe need a fresh start, but you know the natural talent is there, you're going to go get him. You know, like, it reminds me of, like, a guy at Upshot, Michigan, where didn't necessarily play a ton, but comes to Arizona and he's awesome. Chuba Maya is in UC Davis. I guarantee you he has a good year. There's guys where you kind of look at and you go, okay, they were on good teams and maybe they didn't play as much, but if they get another start, I think they're going to be good. And I think Wooten is one of those guys.
Very strategic pickup. That's like kind of a deep cut, but I love that. That means that they did their homework to find him. What is next? What's next for the Wildcats?
Yeah, someone in the program texted me, we are nowhere near done yet, right? Like, they have quite a few scholarships, double-digit scholarships left. I expect them, and part of that is, like, is anyone going to enter the portal on Tuesday and Wednesday, right? You know, you'll know, with the paperwork and all that, you'll know by the end of the day on Wednesday where you stand. I expect Arizona. Alec Marenko is still a guy that I expect to commit. The New Mexico linebacker transfer we've talked about.
Yep, you've said it a couple times.
Arizona has a silent commit from a defensive lineman. That know a very large defensive lineman. I don't know when that will be public. You know, Takario Davis. Eventually, Takario needs to shit or get off the pot. Basically,
yep.
Like that. And if I'm Arizona, I don't necessarily force him out. But I kind of go to him and say, look, like, we're going to recruit multiple corners. Like, we can't just be left in the dark if you decide to leave.
Yep.
So either give us an answer now or just know we're going to recruit corners and you're still going to be the starter, right? But we got to
build some depth here.
Right. So I expect Arizona to add multiple corners. There's a few that Arizona's already reached out to that I have a pretty good idea that I think eventually will wind up Wildcats. Then running back is for sure a priority. They're going to land at least one running back, and I expect them to add a few more offensive linemen. I think linebacker is done. It wouldn't shock me if they added a true safety, but I think linebacker is done after they get Marenko. And then from there, it's going to be kind of a couple guys at each position. I think wide receiver's probably done unless an elite wide receiver,
magically appears.
Right, right.
Like a poof from a genie.
But offensive line, defensive line, running back, I can pretty much guarantee Arizona's going to add. And cornerback, I can guarantee you. Multiple guys at each except for running back. I think Arizona probably has one more running back. It'll be a power back unless someone else becomes available that kind of says, okay, let's go add both.
So basically, there's a lot more to come.
I mean, and I think people need to realize, like, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating. The days of your football roster being done at the end of spring ball is gone. When you are evaluating rosters, it's literally August.
Mm.
Like, guys could enter the portal as graduate transfers and all that, but, like, let's say a kid is graduating at the end of May, right? And they're in the portal. Well, now you're in June. Let's say it's a dead period. There could absolutely be guys that Arizona's now. I don't assume this, but they're absolutely, like, if Arizona added a guy in July.
Don't be surprised.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. That's just the way things are right now.
All right. So basically, patience, grasshopper.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arizona fans, be patient.
Arizona fans, be patient. Ha, ha, ha. So funny.
Yes.
I think you had a shout out. You found out the name
of somebody. Yeah, so remember on the podcast, was it last night?
Yep.
Yeah, I said that. No, it was after the spring game, I think.
It was Saturday night. It all blends. I don't remember what it was. It was early Sunday morning.
But I said there was a kid on the field who I thought was awesome. Found out, I'm not going to do the last name, but Peter. Your dad says that you are Arizona's biggest fan. I believe it. So shout out to Peter and his dad, Curtis. Very cool. Thank you very much for listening. And yeah. And also, make sure you download the Autograph app.
Autograph app? What's that, Jason?
All your curated Arizona content. Download it. Do it now. It takes 3 seconds. Even people that don't know how to use their phones.
like my dad.
Can download it. AZ, capital AZ, lowercase cat. One word, do it now. Trust me, you get points, rewards. It's going to be a very, very cool deal.
A rewarding experience of the world. Yeah. And I have one more shout out. We were sitting in the car today, and I was like, I know that, you know, we don't cover tennis normally, but you know what we do cover, Jason?
Winners.
We cover champions. Champions, as it is. And as we mentioned, men's tennis did win the Pac-12 championship.
I kind of want to shit on the NCAA a little bit.
Let's do it.
Lev did it, too. So Clancy Shield, the men's tennis coach, his brother is the head coach of Boise.
Yeah.
Last year, they played in the regional, and Arizona won, and he sent his brother home. This year, they're in the same damn regional.
Yeah, they're playing. So
he's going to have to do it again.
The nice thing is that Arizona is hosting, which is just cool.
Like last year, but it's garbage.
Yeah, it's kind of. Well, I told you, NCAA loves drama.
Garbage!
When Sean Miller, there was always like, you know, the threat of Sean Miller maybe playing Archie. They love brother storylines, clearly. But anyway, shout out to men's tennis again for representing and being champions. Go win the Natty. Also, I believe the women's tennis team actually was selected, and they are in the Pac-12 tournament or champion or not championship.
They're in the regional.
They're in
as well.
The regional as well. They're in the postseason. So
crazy
good
day.
Job to tennis in general, and we're proud of you. Yay! I think there was like the. The Catsies tonight. There's a whole bunch of awards given out. So Arizona is athletics winding up for the year, but there's still things going on.
And on a somber note, I do think we should mention this.
Somber.
There was a shooting. It's not on U of A. It's about 2-3
miles. Party.
At a house party. I don't want to get into the details.
After the spring game.
And spread rumors and all that. But if you're a friend, family member, acquaintance of Erin Jones, we send our condolences. Pretty awful stuff coming out of that party, and there's a lot of sad people around the U of A. From all accounts, she was a great girl, so just sending condolences to her family and her friends and all that.
Yes. A moment of silence. You caught me off guard, Jason. Now I'm upset. I'm sad. You know I was sad about it. But we're going to band together as Wildcats, and we're going to support everyone who needs it. And until next time. You know what we say, Jason.
Always, no matter where you are, who you are,
who
you're doing it with.
No matter where you are or what you do, you can always bear down.
Shelby, I have an idea.
Okay.
Every day until Arizona's roster is complete, let's start a poll of where should Jason go today? And then, because when I go there, there'll be a commitment. So, like, we can be like, should Jason go to Starbucks? Should Jason go to the library? Should Jason go to hell? It depends who
we're
asking.
Where in Tucson is Jason Matthew Shear?
Where in the world is Jason Matthew Shear?
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.